Okay, let's get cracking. Today we are continuing in the sixth parak of Maseches Shkolim. Today we are learning Parak Vav, Mishnah Gimel, and Parak Vav, Mishnah Dalet. In Parak Vav, Mishnah Gimel, we're going to give the locations of the 13 places in the Beis HaMikdash where people would bow. Says the Mishnah, V'heichon hayu mishtachavim, where did the people bow in the Azara, in the courtyard of the Beis HaMikdash? Like we learned in the previous Mishnah, there were 13 places. Where exactly were these 13 places? Says the Mishnah, Arba B'tzafon, there were four bows that were performed in the north of the Azara. The Arba B'darim, there were four bows that were performed in the south of the Azara. And Shalosh B'mizrach, there were three places where they would bow on the eastern part of the Azara. Ushtayim B'marav, and there were two places where they would bow in the western part of the Azara. Keneged Shlosha Eser She'arim, and these bows were corresponding and opposite the 13 gates of the Azara, as we're going to identify and outline right now. Continuing in the Mishnah, She'arim Jeromim Smuchim L'marav, these are the names of the gates on the southern side of the Azara, beginning with those nearest to the west side. Says the Mishnah, Shar Ha'elyon, there was the upper gate that was closest to the west. The Bartanura points out, Har Habayis was sloped upward from east to west, so that the gate nearest the west side stood at a higher point than those to its east. Therefore, the southern gate closest to the west side of the courtyard was referred to as the upper gate. Continuing in the Mishnah, Shar Hadelek, there was the place where gate of lighting. This is where the wood for the Mizbeach Sapphires was brought in to the Azara. The third gate was Shar HaBechoros. That was with the gate of the firstborns. That's where the firstborn Karbanos, the Bechoros, were brought into the Azara. Shar HaMayim, that was the gate closest to the east, and that is the water gate. Continuing in the Mishnah, V'lama Nikra Shemo Shar HaMayim, why was this fourth gate referred to as the water gate? Says the Mishnah, Shebo Machnisin Tzlochis Shel Mayim Shel Nisuch B'chag, that through this gate they would bring it in a flask, in a container of water that was poured on the Mizbeach during the holiday of Sukkot, and that's what they would do. What they referred to as Nisuch HaMayim during that period of time, that each morning during the Yontif of Sukkot, there was this flask of water that was brought from the Shiloach spring out of the Beis HaMikdash into the Azara, and it was poured into one of the two bowls on the southern, southwest corner of the Mizbech, as outlined in the fourth parak of Meseches Sukkah. Now this gateway was chosen because it was close to the ramp leading to the top of the Mizbeach. Continuing in the Mishnah, Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov Omer, Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov says that why the second explanation for why it was called Shar HaMayim, the water gate, Bo HaMayim Mifakim Va'asidim Li Yos Yotzin Mitachas Miftan Habayis, that through this gate the water will flow as from the mouth of a small flask. When Mashiach comes, it is going to come out from beneath this area of the Beis HaMikdash. It's based on the Psukim in Sefer Yechezkel, where Yechezkel gives a nevuah, gives a prophecy, that he basically says that a trickle of water, the width of a locust's antenna, is going to start under the bottom of the Kodesh HaKadosh, in the holy place in the Beis HaMikdash, and it's going to expand to the width of the mouth of a flask by the time it reaches this southeastern gate. The southeastern gate was therefore named the water gate in anticipation of that nevuah of Yechezkel HaNavi. Continuing now in Parak Vav, Mishnah Gimel, as the Mishnah continues by saying, L'umasan, B'tzafon, Smuch, and L'marav. Now we're going to discuss opposite these gates in the north, beginning with those nearest to the west side of the Azara. What were the gates? Shar Yechonya, the gate of Yechonya. What exactly does that mean? We're going to learn in the Mishnah as we continue. Shar Karban, the sixth gate was the gate of the carbon, of the various carbonos that are brought. This is where the carbonos that needed to be shechted were brought in the northern half of the Chazar, of the Azara. Shar Nashim, the women's gate, those women who wanted to come in and see their carbonos being dealt with, they would enter through this seventh gate. And then Shar Hashir was the gate of song, through which the musical instruments used in the Beis HaMikdash were brought in. Continuing in the Mishnah, Elama Nikra Shemo Shar Yechanin. Why was that gate that we said before referred to as the gate of Yechanya? Shebo Yata Yechanya Big Galuso, because it was through this gate that King Yechanya, the Melech Yechanya, left the Azar for the very last time as he was being exiled, as the Bartanura points out. Yechanya, who's also known as Yehoyachin in the Tanakh, was one of the last Malchei Yehuda, the kings of Yehuda, to rule in Yerushalayim before the destruction of the first Beis HaMikdash. His reign of kingship was actually cut short when Nebuchadnezzar Melech Bavel, actually he surrounded and besieged the city, and he took the entire royal household captive. And before being led off to Galus, Yechonia entered the Chot the Azara to bow down and take leave for the very final time, and he was then led from the Azara through this gateway, again referred to as Shar Yechonia. Finishing off the Mishnah with the remaining five gates of the Azara, the Mizrach Shar Nikonor, the gates in the eastern wall of the Azara, were the Nikonor gate, a righteous man, as Bartanura points out, based in the Gemara, and Daf Lamed Ches of Maseches Yoma. There was a righteous holy man named Nicanor who once traveled to Alexandria to make special copper doors for the main entrance to the Azara. And on his return trip to the port of Akko, strong winds threatened to sink the ship. The sailors took one of the massive doors and threw it into the sea to lighten the ship's load, yet the ship still remained in danger. The sailors then decided to throw the other door overboard as well, but Nicanor embraced it, insisting that if they throw it overboard, they throw him into the sea with it. And with that, the raging, deathly sea immediately subsided. Nevertheless, Nicanor remained pained over the loss of the first door, and when he arrived in Akko, however, he was discovered that the first door had miraculously followed them for the entire way. That's why it's referred to as Nicanor's Gate. Continuing in the Mishnah, Shnei Fishfishin Hayulo, there were also two smaller gateways within it, Echad b'yamino v'echad b'smolo, one at its right side, one at its left side, Ushnayim b'marav shlo hayulahem shem. And there were two gates in the western wall of the Azara as well that did not have a particular name. Continuing now as we begin, Perek Vav, Mishnah Dalet. Continuing in the Mishnah, as we discuss the location and purpose of the 13 shulchanos, the 13 tables that were also mentioned in Perek Vav Mishnah Aleph. It says the Mishnah, Shlosha es shulchanos hayu b'mikdash, there were 13 tables in the Beis HaMikdash, Shmona shel shayish b'beis HaMitbachim, 8 tables were made of marble and they stood in the butchering place to the north of the Mizbeach, the Jishar HaMitbachim. Was the Beis HaMitbachim was basically where most karbanos were slaughtered, skinned, cut up, and rinsed. And again, that was located in the northern area of the Mizbeach. Continuing in the Mishnah, Sha'alehen Medichen Kravayim, that on those tables the Kohanim would rinse the intestines of the karbanos, Ushnayim B'marav HaKevesh, and there were two more tables that stood west of the ramp leading up to the Mizbeach, Echad shel shayish ve'echad shel kesef, one made of marble and one that was made of silver. Al shel shayish b'hayu nosdin ha'ivarim, on the marble table, they would put the limbs of the karbanos ola, the ola karbanos that were ready to be burnt, and they remained on the table, and the kohanim carried them to the mizbeach. Al shel kesef klisharis, and on the silver table, they would place the 93 various kalim, the vessels that were used daily in the avoda in the base HaMikdash. Continuing in the Mishnah, Ushnayim Be'ula Mibifnim Al Pesach HaBayis. Then there were two more tables that were located inside the Ulam. Where was the Ulam? So the Ulam was a hallway in front of the Heichal. It was actually wider than the Heichal, measuring approximately 100 amos across. Continuing in the Mishnah, Echad Shel Shayish, Ve'echad Shel Zohav, one table was made of marble, and the other one was made of gold. Al Shel Shayish, Nosin Lechem Apanim, Bikni Soso. On the marble table, the Kohanim placed the freshly baked Lechem Hapanim on its way into the main part of the Beis HaMikdash. The Lechem HaPanim is, as the Bartanura points out, as we learn in Sefer Vayikra, is a set of 12 large loaves that were placed on the in the on the shulchan, shulchan azov, the gold shulchan, where they remained from one Shabbos to the next. They were baked on Friday and placed on the gold sanctuary table on Shabbos, they remained for a week. And then on the next Shabbos, when those loaves were removed and divided among the Kohanim, they were replaced with freshly baked loaves. And that's how it would go with the Lechem Aponim. So again, on the marble table, the Kohanim placed the freshly baked Lechem Aponim on its way into the sanctuary and remained on the table until the Kohanim removed it to the gold table inside the sanctuary. The Al Shel Zav Beitziyazo, and on the golden table in the Ulam, they placed the Lechem Aponim on its way out of the Beis HaMikdash, and the Kohanim then divided them amongst themselves. Continuing in the Mishnah is now going to explain why the second table inside the Ulam had to be made of gold as well. Shemal and Bekodesh, Vein Moridin, says the Mishnah, there is a concept that I'm sure many of us are familiar with, is that we only go up in matters of Kedusha, and we never go down in levels of Kedusha. And since the Lechem Aponim had been placed on the Shulchan Hazav, on the golden table in the Beis HaMikdash, as the Mishnah will soon tell us, it was inappropriate to move it to an inferior silver table. And the Mishnah concludes now with the location of the 13th and final one of the Shulchanos, as the Mishnah V'yachash Al-Zav, Mi-Bifnim, Sha'alav Lachem Hapanim Tamid. And there was one more table of gold inside the Beis HaMikdash, upon which the Lachem Hapanim would always be there, and constantly on that table. Quick review, Perek Vav, Mishnah Gimel taught us the various the 13 places where there were where the people in the Beis HaMikdash would often bow down, corresponding to the 13 different gates that surrounded the Beis HaMikdash. And then in Perek Vav, Mishnah Dalet, the Mishnah taught us the 13 places, the 13 different tables, and the materials that the tables were made from that also existed and were used in the Beis HaMikdash, and what the purposes for all of these particular tables were. Have a great day.